Hey, this is Jason Robinson, the pastor of Church of the King, and I'm so pumped up that you're hanging out with us with our podcast today. I pray that God really speaks to you and that you're encouraged and inspired to live your life with everything you have for Him. Hey, I want to encourage you to check us out over at cotk.org. You can go there and learn all kinds of things about us and when our service times are. And speaking of our service times, I would love to invite you so that I could actually meet you personally on one of our weekend services. I promise you, your kids will love it. You'll have a great time and you'll have a blast. I pray today that God speaks to you through this word. God bless you.
Well, good morning, and welcome to church. It's good to see everybody here. I hope you're doing well. I also like to look online as well. Everyone who's watching online, I know different volleyball and cheerleading competitions have started back up. I know the Houston Marathon was this morning. So if you hardcore church and you're watching as you're running right now, so hey, go, you know. So hey, can we give it up for everybody watching online and all our different overflow sections? Excited to have all of you. If you guys, just a quick drive by explanation of Kingdom Women Connect. What it is it is ladies coming together, and there'll be a little bit of a lesson. There will be a lesson that goes on, and then there'll be breakouts into small groups. It's a bigger environment for you, a chance for you to just get connected. That's why I call it Kingdom Women Connect. The whole goal is once you get connected in relationships with other ladies. We know many ladies work, and so we've had a lot of questions about, will you eventually have a time for ladies who work? And we're working towards that, and we hope to have that in the future, an option for you as well. So hey, I'm excited about everything that God's doing. One thing in particular, I just want to let y'all know about something. You may not know this, but there's this thing called an 8 o'clock service. It's awesome. Like Jesus shows up in the flesh. No, he doesn't do that. So, but I did want to say this. During this time of year, a lot of people come in, and when somebody decides they want to check out a church, it's typically between that 9:30 and 11:15 slot. Last week, I know for sure, I don't really know where we are with this one. Every single chair was full and all our overflows at the 9:30 service. 11:15 service, we actually, for the first time in the history of our church, had to turn people away. So we had to turn a whole bunch of people away, and we never did that, and my heart just sunk when I heard that we had to do that at the 11:15 service. We're doing all that we can, meeting actually with the team tonight and with some of our staff and all that, and we're looking to expand options, service options, and different ways to accommodate all that God wants to do. But in the meantime, if you want to come to 8, Jesus won't love you more, but I will. Okay, all right, I was just saying, if you want to come, that'll be helpful. All right, anyway, so hey, if you have your Bible, if you want to open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it's the main core verses of our whole series. I read it last week. I'm going to read it again this week, but go through our core series for running to win. Also, hey, if you're considering starting a small group, man, we really need you at that meeting. Sign up for it next week. And if you're praying about doing a small group, pray no longer. The Lord told me to tell you yes. All right. So no, because we want you to get people connected. We're doing a series called Run to Win. Run to Win. This race we call life. We don't want you to just run it. We want you to run to win at it. So let's read in scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. That's the heart behind this entire series. I want to help teach you through the Bible, how do we run to win? I don't want you to just run. I don't want you to just limp over that finish line and fall over. You know, I want you to be able to run it strong and finish it strong. And how do we do that? Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I run with intention is what we're talking about. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I may not be disqualified for the prize. This week, this is what I want to talk about today with you. Message I've entitled, What is the Win? Hey, if we're running to win, it might be important to know, what is a win? How do we actually define a win? Would you pray with me? Father, I thank you so much. Thank you for all that you're doing. God, I pray you would just anoint this message today and help me to share your words to your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. So I remember many years ago as my kids were coming into sports, I mean, my son in particular came up to me one day and he said, "Dad, I want to play basketball." "Sure, son, no problem." And so we signed him up for basketball. And I remember going out to the first practice of basketball, and I'm watching the first practice ever of basketball, and reality hit me. This ain't gonna go so well. I could tell. And we lost the first game, and the second game, and the third game, and the fourth game. And we kept losing game after game. And there's a difference between we were right there, but we almost won. And like, this is painful to my eyes. I didn't know that you could be in actual physical pain watching something, watching an actual event going on. And by the time we get to the very end, sure enough, we are 0 and whatever. It was terrible. It was bad. When we finally got to the last game of the season, I was actually thankful to Jesus. Come on, any parents know what I'm talking about there? It's like, "Oh, Dad, this is terrible." "Yes, son, it's terrible. Get ready for this to be over." And so we get there. It's over, and guess what happens? They give him a trophy. They get him a trophy. We get in the car, and as there's a trophy, we get in the car, and he says, I'll never forget my son. He goes, "Dad, we were the best team." I said, "Son, y'all weren't the best team. You weren't the best team." "No, Dad, we were the best team." "Son, y'all weren't the best team." "Dad, we were the best." "Y'all were horrible, son." Not you. The team was horrible. It was terrible. We should give the trophies back, and you should never play again for the rest of— I didn't tell him that. I didn't say all those things. But it's okay. We went through counseling. We're all good now. And I remember he kept on thinking, "But Dad, we did so great." And I had to explain to him. I said, "Son, there's this thing called a scoreboard, and you have to have more points right here than they have over there. In every single game, they had a lot more points over here than we had over there. And so therefore, we lost." I had to explain it to him, what it actually looked like. And I thought to myself, said, it's one thing to have about your son or something like that, but what about in life if we get to a place and it's like, hey, we get to heaven and we find out the scoreboard is lit up, but it's lit up on the wrong side. It's lit up in the areas that didn't matter most. Reminds me of the Charlie Brown. Come on, anybody remember Charlie Brown? Yeah. The Charlie Brown comics, and it's him, and he's shooting these arrows. And as he's shooting these arrows, Lucy comes up to him and says, "What are you shooting at?" And he grabs a thing of paint, and he found an arrow that actually went into something. And he drew a circle around. He goes, "It hit the bullseye." Exactly right there. And that's how some of us live our life. We're just shooting at stuff and hoping. What are you going for? Oh, that one. The one that hit, that actually stuck. I don't want us to get to heaven one day. I don't want us to stand before God, our Father. We don't stand before Jesus and say, hey, I won in something that didn't matter. And so I think it's important, if we're going to talk about running to win, if we're going to look in this scripture about how do we run to win, I think it's important to know, what's the win? What's actually the win? That's important because it can be easy to go throughout this life and we're doing our best at we think this is the right thing. Because I have learned this, that not everything that counts can be counted in life. Oh, that's good. Yeah. It's true, not everything that counts can be counted in life. That's hard for some of us, hard for me to be honest with you. I like measurables, I like knowing. I mean, but how do you count your soul being settled? How do you count having peace of mind? How do you actually count having kids who love God? How do you count like having a marriage that just gets better and better, and the longer it goes on, the more deeply in love you are? How do you measure some of those things? How do you measure the soul of someone? How do you measure having a respectable name? Not everything that counts can be counted. But now, that's difficult for us because we live in the West. We have people literally from all over the world that's moved to the area and they go to our church. We live in the West, and in the West, everything's got to be up and to the right, right? I mean, we got to add zeros every single year. We got to hit marks every single year. And I get that, but I want us to be careful that we're not lighting it up in an area that doesn't really matter. Let me tell you a scripture that kind of helps bring it all into focus. In Mark chapter 8, it says, "What good is it for you to gain the whole world, but you forfeit your soul? What good is it if you hit all the marks, but in the midst of it, you lose what matters most?" Huh. Now, Now, let me just qualify something. This is not one of those messages. I'm not one of those pastors that's like, oh, I'm about to say what's wrong with this is an anti-production, producing things. No, this is like, I'm going to beat up on careers and beat up on having money and stuff and all these things. It's evil. No. I actually had one guy when we started the church within the first year. He's really well off in his life. And I remember we sat down for the first time. He said, "Preacher, I need your help." I said, "What's that? What's going on?" He goes, "I got a lot of money, and the Bible says that if you got money, you're going to hell." And I said, Hold on a second. That's not what it says, okay? That is not what it says, okay? That's not it at all. And so I want you to hear what I'm saying, but this is what you'll hear this a lot in our church. God doesn't have a problem with you having stuff, has a problem with stuff having you. God doesn't have a problem with you having money or resources or authority or influence. He has a problem if it has you. If now that becomes the God of your life, then there's a serious problem. So what do you want, Pastor? What do you want? So what are you saying, Pastor? I want you all to prosper. Pastor, are you a prosperity preacher? And if it's in light, not what you're thinking, but in light of this scripture, I'd say yes. 3 John 1 verses 2 says this: "Behold, I pray that you prosper." I really want you to prosper. But here we go. In what? All things. What does that mean? Hey, if you're doing great with your business stuff, but your family's a wreck, then we're not prospering. Hey, if you're doing great with family, but you're not engaging the call of God on your life and giving it everything you have, we're not prospering. It's all things. And here's the important one. And be in health. It's healthy all the way around. Watch this. But here's the plumb bob. Here's the level. Here's the foundational thing. What do we measure it up against? As your soul prospers. That's good. That's right. Do I want you to prosper? Does it mean your soul prospering? Yes, then yes. I want your soul to prosper because everything comes out from your soul prospering. I want you to win. Everybody say win. Pastor, why do you keep saying that? Why do you want me to win so much? A philosopher you may have heard of said this once: because winning is better than losing. By Jason Robinson. I mean, it's not that difficult, y'all. Winning is better than losing. It is, all right? I know you were coming here to gain knowledge and attain wisdom, and I gave you one. There it is, all right? It's better than losing. Actually, I've heard this powerful saying: if you lead something, if you lead a team, you lead people, if you are an owner or a manager or whatever it may be, there's this really powerful statement that I grasped a hold of years and years ago, and it's really helped me in a lot of ways when it comes to leading people, okay? But there's something deeper to it, but I want to share it with you, and it's a critical principle. It says this: if you do not define the win, then others will define the win for themselves. So if you're leading a team and you don't tell them what the mark is, then guess what? It's not their fault if they hit a different mark. It's your fault because you didn't tell them what it was. Because you know what? The goodness of their heart, they're just like, okay, well, I'm just doing the best I can with what I know. Well, that's not what I wanted you to do, but that's not what you told me, right? So we have to define the win. That's why last week as a church, I defined the win: reaching people, building lives. We always want to reach people far away from God and help build them, disciple them, help them walk with the Lord. Why? So that we can reach more people and build more people and reach more people and build more people. If you're not engaged in one of those along the way as a church, then over time you'll start to fade, because we want to always be engaged with the new people. And we always want to engage at the same time, helping people walk into more maturity with Christ. But here's the one rub I have with this statement: if you don't define the win, then others will define it for themselves. You know what I don't want? I don't want you to define for yourself what the win is for eternity. I don't want you to just like, okay, well, I guess I do more good than I do bad, and if I just do, I guess we'll be okay, right? I want us to look in Scripture. We're going to look at the Bible, and we're going to say, look biblically, like what does the Bible say? What's some things, how can I take all of it and wrap it up into just a few things, three different buckets that I want to give you, three different themes that I've read all throughout Scripture over and over and over. You see this in effect. Why is this? Because I want you to win, and I want you to know what the target is. And I want you to be like, okay, so if I do these things, then I know that I'm hitting the target. I'm living the way God wants me to live. And I know I'll stand before God and I'll hear one day, "Well done, good and faithful servant," which is what we all want. Now, I'm going to refer to a couple of scriptures in Genesis. And when I refer to these scriptures, I don't think I have them on the screen for you, but I want to refer it to you, and I'll tell you why. Because when you want to know what God wants, you often want to go back to how he originally started this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Like there's something in the Bible, there's a law in scripture that talks about the law of first mention. In other words, when the Bible first mentions it, that's really the defining, foundational understanding and thought, prevailing thought of what this is. And so I'm gonna refer back to it on before the fall, when all this happened. How did God originally design this? What was the when? And so here we go. If you're ready, say, I'm ready. For the rest of you, we'll get you there, all right? We'll get you there. So the first thing is this, okay? This is the most important. If you don't get any of them right, get this first one right. Hey, what's the win, Pastor? What's the win? How do I prosper in all, what's the win in all this? Number one, know God. Know God. It's that simple. It's to know him. It's not no church, not no religion. It's to know God, to actually walk with him above all of it. It's to know him. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, we see how God created man. And scripture actually shows it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit said, let us make man in his own image and likeness, in our likeness. He made us because he wanted to be with us. Number one, it's not, he didn't create the world and say, man, who's going to do all this stuff? Let's create people. I mean, think about it. That's as crazy as you as a parent saying, man, we bought this house. We got all this housework to do. Babe, I don't feel like cutting the grass. Let's have children. They'll take care of it. Bad idea. Really bad idea. I heard somebody say, kids are like a piece of your heart popping out of your chest, growing flesh and walking around it. Yeah. Man, I think that's pretty good, a good definition of it. And it's like God's heart. He wanted to be with us. He wanted to know us. God created us to know us. And then as sin came and wrecked this whole thing and we were separated, he set a plan in motion for his son to come and pay the ultimate price. Why? To reconcile us back to him so that we might know him. The goal of all of it, more than anything else, is to know God. If you're here, you've probably heard us say this. You'll continue to hear us. We encourage you to read your Bible. We want you to pray. We want you to worship. The reason I even came up and I was like, hey, let's sing this together, because I'm trying to encourage you and show you how to worship and feel the presence of God. We want you to get in a small group. Why? Because we want you to get connected in relationships, and we want you to serve. Why? Because we know all, but all of it. Can I tell you why we want you to do all that? It's not because, oh, we got a system and we're trying to keep it running. We want to do these things because we know these things will help draw you closer to knowing God. God. Interesting. This is so important. This is interesting because Jesus, during his time, he was actually getting on to the Pharisees, because the Pharisees knew all the intellectual stuff they needed to know about scripture. They knew it better than they could run circles around everyone. And this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them, in knowing more, you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. The reason I gave you all is this is so you could know me. That's why it's so confusing to some when Jesus was saying to the Pharisees, you know all the stuff, but sinners and tax collectors are going into the kingdom before you. You know why? Because it wasn't about the do's and don'ts. Listen, they know me. Makes me think of my dad, who usually watches, I don't know if it's 9:30, 11:15, if you watch it. What's up, Dad? Love you. And I remember as I was younger and Father's Day would come around, my dad's birthday would come around. My dad would say, I'd say, Dad, what do you want for your birthday? What do you want for Father's Day? And he'd say, you know what I want? I just want us all to be together. We'll just have a meal and we'll all hang out and just be together. And I thought to myself, that's so lame. Like, this is your opportunity. Come on, Dad. I'll be honest. Father's Day come, I'm capitalizing. What do you want to eat? Cheesecake, all right? You sure you want cheesecake for dinner? Cheesecake. Yeah, I mean, that's what I get a free pass, whatever I want. But you know what I've learned as my kids have gotten older? You want to know what I want now? Hey, can we just like have dinner together and just hang out and talk? And sometimes I'm in the conversation, but I have a bunch of girls, so it's usually just, that's what you're doing most of the time. And I love every minute of it. Why? I just want to be with them. I just want to be with them. I want to know. There's a scripture. I want you to know God. There's scripture that, to be honest, for years, I remember first reading this as a teenager, it kind of scared me. Kind of, whew. And even to this day, when I read it, it kind of puts you in check quick. It's in Matthew chapter 7. It says this, that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who's in heaven. Many will say to me, now here's the part, on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? How many of y'all know? That's a pretty good resume. Hey, that brother over there, he's casting out demons, he's prophesying, and he's performing miracles. And Jesus said, get away from me. Whew, what chance do I have? This is what he said. Then I'll tell them plainly, I never knew you. I never knew you. I just didn't know you. You knew the stuff, but you didn't know my heart. Were you connected to me? Did you know me? And the greatest aim of my life, the greatest aim of our church, the greatest aim of all of our dream team, who's just amazing. Come on, somebody thank a parking lot team person today. You know what I'm saying? Come on, we ain't from Chicago. Oh, we got a bunch of people from Chicago, but y'all move down here. We're trying to get closer to the equator, right? They're out there. You know, it's like our greatest aim is to know God. To know everything comes out of knowing him. Everyone say, know God. Know God. Here's the second one. Here's the target. Okay, if you want to know to know God. Here's the second one. It's all throughout Scripture. It's at the very, very beginning. And we'll see it. It's this, to steward. Number two, here's the second part. Steward what God gives you. You can't get past this. It just goes on and on and on. It's not about all the stuff you do, but guess what? You know God, and God gives you God gives you things. What does he give you? Breath. He gives you breath in your lungs. He gives you gifting. He gives you talent. He gives you all these things. Well, man, I worked real hard and I went to school and I pulled myself up from my bootstraps and I come. Who gave you the ability to even do that? Who gave you that drive and determination? Who gave you those things? Scripture says it this way. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it and all who live in it. We see all throughout Scripture. Matter of fact, Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. You can look that up a little bit later. Oh, I think we have it. Okay, great. Then God took the man. So God created man. This is before the fall, before sin came in. God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Leave it there. So now watch this. So God created him to be with him. Then God created the Garden of Eden. He placed him there. So God made it, placed him there to do what? Tend it and keep it. To steward it. So here's important. So work was established before the fall. Mm-hmm. Some people say, man, I got to work now. Stupid Adam and Eve. No, it was actually established before that work, to steward it and attend it and to keep it. God gives us what he gives us, steward it. Now we take everything that I have and my kids and my marriage and my heart, all those things, and God, I give it to you. But it's more than giving to him. I want to show you another principle in Scripture, Matthew 25 and 23. Now, it's a parable of Jesus sharing how a master came and gave one servant five talents, another two, and another one. Went off, and when he came back to settle accounts, he went to the one that had five, and he met with him to settle the account, and he gave him back five. So the five and another five, so he had 10. And he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share my master's happiness. Goes to the one with two. He brings four back. And so he has four to give to him. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few. I'll make you faithful over many. Come into my master's happiness. And he went to the one, and the one didn't do anything with what he had. Now he gave him back what he had, but he gave him back exactly what God had given him. And you know what he called him? A wicked and lazy servant. And so you know what faithfulness really is in the kingdom? Watch this. What God gives us, we give it back to him better. Better. The gift that he gave me, God, thank you for giving me this gift. And I'm going to work. I'm going to work as unto the Lord. I'm going to give it everything I have. And God, I give it. It is yours. I give it back to you, but I give it back to you double than what you gave me. God, the kids that you gave me, the heart that you gave me. By the way, this church is not mine. I don't own it. It's not mine. It's his. God, I want to take it, make it the best we could be, and give it back to you because it's his. We steward it. He owns it all. It reminds me of a story when my kids were younger. I don't remember what the situation was, but we were in the house and argument ensued or whatever, and I think it was me or Stephanie. I can't remember what. One of us were going into one of the rooms, and one of the kids said, "You can't go in there. That's my room." I don't remember which kid it was, but I'm pretty sure I know which one. Come on, parents. Parents, y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, you come home and you start hearing about what happened. You don't even have to investigate. Yeah, tell them to come down. You know which one it is, right? How'd you know it was me? I knew it was Mia the whole time, all right? I'm just saying. I'm not throwing her under the bus. It had to be Mia. It just had to be. It just had to be. That's my room. I said, oh, really? So I went down. I grabbed the pen. And I figured out the square footage of the house and how much the note was, and I matched her square footage of her room to how much she gonna owe me. So I went to her probably 11-year-old self, and I said, "You owe me $370, but you've been living in it for a couple years, so let's add some interest to that, and let's put a few things to the whole thing." And she's just looking at me like I'm crazy. I said, "In other words, it ain't your room. Come in anytime I want. Come on, parents, y'all know what I'm saying? Don't let me buy you fries and you don't give me one. Can I have some fries? I don't need to have some fries. Give me them fries. I bought them. Did I not buy them?" Look, there's some teenager in here right now that's like, my parents don't come in my room because I told them not to, and I've just empowered them. That's right, I just empowered them. It's their room. This life, everything I have, it's his anyway. The only thing that keeps me from just dropping right here now and with no breath in my lungs is he's given it to me to steward. The earth is the Lord's and everything. Hey, I want to get to heaven one day. And God says, "Hey, what'd you do with what I gave you? Here it is, God. I'm giving it back to you better than you gave it to me. Better. Because I want to be faithful. Well done and good and faithful servant." Know God. Steward what he gives you. And the final one, this, as our worship team comes up, is make disciples. What's the target? What is the target? What's the win? How do I stand before God and hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, Jason"? I got to know him. I want to know you. Now, here's the cool thing. When you know God, you want to do these other things. As you get to know him, like, man, what do you need, God? What do you want? I'll do whatever you want. Hey, I gave you these things. All right, I'm going to do everything I can within my power to develop it and to grow it, grow that calling, grow that gifting. And God, but I give it all to you. I use it all for you. And ultimately, to make disciples, Genesis 1:28 actually says, he looked at Adam and Eve and said, go and populate the earth. Reproduce yourself. It's making disciples. Jesus in Matthew 28. Remember, who gets to set the agenda? Jesus does. God sets the agenda for our lives. By the way, always remember this. This is not your story. This is a massive shift for somebody. So I'm going to slow down on this part. I didn't say this last service, okay? Like, it's not your story, and God's a part of it. Let me tell you what this is. This is God's story. And we're a part of it. Massive, massive, massive difference, okay? Like, God, in all that you're doing, you've called me for such a time as this. This is your story, God. What would you have me do in your story? Right? That it's a big shift. It's a big shift. But when you know God, you want to. It's God, I'll steward it all. And finally, to make disciples, to see others. Let me break it down real simple. Let me read it first. "Therefore go," Jesus said this. By the way, this is the last thing Jesus said before he left. And I have a sneaky suspicion it's going to be the first thing he asks when he comes back. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Here it is. What's the goal? I want to know God. I want to steward everything God has me to give back to him, to glorify him. And I want to help others know God. Yeah. steward everything they have. To help others, know God and steward everything he gives them. To help others, y'all see where I'm going with this? It's, you know what the target, the ultimate target, reaching people, building lives, the ultimate target for Church of the King is this. We want to see disciples make disciples who make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. And you know what? You know what that means? We're going to give people a chance.
Yeah, that's right. That's so good.
We're going to give people opportunity. We're going to do it. I mean, I love just even seeing our worship team and the ones who are being developed and growing, and we're helping disciple to see them to see them grow into everything God has for them. It's just, that's the target, to make disciples. Pastor, I ain't gonna lie, this is a lot. Know God. Hey, I just need to steward everything. And then help others do the same. Man, whew, that's a lot. Hey, I have two things to encourage you with that, okay? Here's the first one. The scripture we just read, Matthew 28:19, it says, therefore, go and make disciples. Hey, let me give you a little secret. When you see in scripture where it says, therefore, go to the scripture before that to see what it's there for. Deep Thoughts by Jason Robinson. I'm telling you, I'm bringing the fuego today. Therefore, okay? So let's look at, hey, go and make disciples. Okay, well, let's see what it was there for. Then Jesus came to tell them this, all authority, all of it, in heaven and earth has been given to me, Jesus. And that Jesus lives on the inside of us. And then that scripture we just said, it's therefore, he's got all the authority, he's got all the power, he's got all of, that's great, that's awesome. I know that, Pastor, that's great. So therefore, go into all the nations, disciple and baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And here's the other key one. The first one is he has all authority. Second is this, surely I am with you. I am with you. Pastor, I don't know if I'm smart enough. I'm not healthy enough. I'm not these things. Hey, the God of the universe, the same power that rose Jesus from the grave lives on the inside of you. And you have the power to walk in, to lean into those things. God, hey, God, I just want to know you. I don't know what that looks like, but I want to know you. God, all these things you've given me, help me to know what to do. That's why we want to look in scripture, get connected in small group, come to Kingdom Women Connect, come upon that team and serve and make a difference. Why you want to do, I'm learning how to steward all this to the best of my ability, but I got God's power with me and to make disciples. I'll end with this last illustration, this last story. It's kind of juvenile, but you'll remember this, okay? So I remember being in seventh grade. They had this situation happen at school in seventh grade, and this guy, like, wanted to fight me. And I'll never forget, we're in class, it was like towards the end, and he looked at me, he goes, tomorrow, I'm gonna blah, 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 blah. And I don't know why he couldn't do it that day. He had something going on, I guess, I don't know. He's beating somebody else up that day, I guess. I'm being honest with you. Like, I knew I couldn't get this guy. I was like, this dude's gonna hurt me. This isn't gonna be good. And so I was nervous for the whole next day. I'm like, Lord, cancel school. Just send something, Lord. You know, send a tornado. You know, whatever. I just like, Lord, I don't wanna do this. Seventh grade. And so I remember the whole day, it's the talk, right? Oh, Jason and so-and-so is gonna fight. I was like, no, he gonna fight. Jason gonna hurt. That's how this is gonna go. But hey, I'm gonna bite ankle. They gonna know I was there. You know, I was like, that's all I knew. And I'll never forget, I was there. Sorry, my daughter's laughing at me. And so you've heard this story. So anyway, so I'm there, and this guy, and sure enough, after school, all these people, you know, behind the gym, and they're all like, and I'm like, oh man. He's like, da, 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 and he's talking. I'm like, man, it's cool. I'm like, oh. Then all of a sudden, this guy who's fussing at me, he does this. He's like, yeah. He starts to back up like this. And I'm like, what's going on here? I turn around, and when I turn around, my cousin Bobby, who's about, is he 6'3", 6'4", you think, something like that? 6'3". Now, we're in seventh grade. He's tight end at the high school that we're all going to. And he's behind me, my cousin Bobby. He watches sometimes. Bobby, I know you remember this. I remember this. And like, he just stood there, but he had heard that this guy that he knew that I couldn't whoop. And so he decided he was gonna come and he wasn't gonna let it happen. So he's standing behind me and I look at my cousin Bobby. And being the good, wholesome Christian man I am, that was meek and mild, all of a sudden I turned around, I was like, "What's up? What you wanna do? We gonna talk or we gonna do something? Which one gonna be? All right, you better go. Okay, we're cool. All right, we're cool. Go. I don't want to hear it again." I told you it was juvenile. I did. It had nothing to do with what I could do. It had everything to do with who was with me. Some of us are striving, trying, listen, to know God, to steward what he's given you. And God, help us to make an impact with our lives. I don't know if I'm going to do it all right. I'm worried. Hey, listen, relax. He's with you. He's with you. So you can turn around and say, "I want to know God. Come on, let's make some disciples. Let's trust God. God, what do you want to use through my life?" And you can walk in confidence, not because you're so amazing. He's so amazing and he's with you. And we can say, "God, you're with your people." Can I tell you what God's doing that's special here? It's not because we're that talented or we're that gifted. I mean, you heard my two major quotes today. He's with us. He's with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us?